Hello. Hello, friends, and welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr. I'm broadcasting today from the, I'm in near the Scatter Creek Winery in beautiful Tenino, Washington, and the signal is getting rebroadcast via my studio there at KKNW on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and much happier place. And I just want to thank everyone around the world for listening today, because with your help, I know we can make it a better place. I was going to bring on a wonderful lady named Asha Deliverance, who's she's the owner and president of what's called Pacific Domes Incorporated. She's an amazing lady. She's given a lot of support to the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in their battle with the big oil companies and big banks to protect their water supplies and ancestor of grave sites. But unfortunately, she's got laryngitis today, and she can't talk very well. So what I'm going to do is bring back James McMath onto the show. And I am also sponsoring a West Coast tour by Mitch Kohayashi of the Emoto Peace Project up and down the West Coast. And she's actually with me now. And I wanted to bring her on to talk about water, and this fits in right in with the kind of work that James does as well. So I'd like to first welcome James back to the program. James, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, James. Well, so good to have you on board, and thanks for adjusting your schedule today. And Michiko, welcome to Out of This World.
Hi, Ted. Hi, James. It's good to be here.
Hi,
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good.
Great.
Glad to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear your voice, too. Thank you very much, Ted, for inviting me again.
Now, Michi, for a little bit about your background, could you talk about just a brief little biography for people who don't know who you are and what kind of work you do?
Oh, okay. I am a global director of Emoto Peace Project and also an ambassador of Peace Project in Tokyo. And I worked for Dokemoto as a personal assistant for 10 years until he passed away in 2014. And then at that time, he asked me to continue with this Emoto Peace Project, so I promised. And now that's why I am here as part of the Emoto Peace Project, to spread the words out and the importance of the message from water. So that's a brief biography.
Okay, great, Michi. And then you're also, for my listeners in Washington State, in Vancouver, beautiful Vancouver, Canada, she'll be giving some presentations. She'll be at the Scatter Creek Winery a little bit after 4 o'clock today in Tenino, Washington, giving a wonderful presentations on there on Messages from Water. Then on October 30th at the beautiful Longhouse at the Evergreen State College, October 30th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., she'll be giving another presentation there. On November 2nd, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., she'll be giving a presentation at what's called the New Traditions Cafe at 305th Avenue in downtown Olympia. It's a wonderful cafe, and all of the food is organic and non-GMO, so it's very healthy to go there. Then on November 3rd, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., she'll be at a wonderful place called the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma, Washington. The address is 3802 South Cedar Street. It's just off 38th Street, right next to the Tacoma Mall, and I hope you all can come. And then in beautiful Vancouver, Canada, Michiko, and both Michiko and I actually will be giving presentations on November 4th from about 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. At the Listel Hotel in Vancouver, Canada. The address is 1300 Robeson Street. In my opinion, the Listel is one of the nicest hotels in Vancouver, and I hope you can all come. There is an admission fee for coming, but it's by donation, so we appreciate your donations. It goes right to the Emoto Peace Project. I wanted to ask both you, Michiko, and you, James, about the health benefits of structured water, because you're both you're approaching it from a market standpoint, James, of helping the agricultural sectors of the United States and other countries around the world, and also to clean up pollution. And you're doing it, Michiko, in a little different way, but in the same way, you're doing it through love and gratitude by teaching children around the world the valuable lessons of love and gratitude. But I know that there's a link between the both of you, because you both, of course, love Dr. Emoto and are carrying the same message of creating a better planet. And with that, Michiko, I'd like to hand you the microphone first.
Okay, thank you. Well, I know that structured water is really, really important for health for human beings, not only for human beings, but for the soil, the Mother Earth, and all the beings. But I'm not the scientist, so I don't go into that field, but instead I do try to tell everyone that water does make crystals, and it depends on our consciousness or vibration that we give. Vibration is energy, or vibration is also information. So if we give a good information to water, water is capable of restoring and making the beautiful crystals. That means structure of the water becomes beautiful. Is that right, James?
It's all about vibration, as Nikola Tesla used to say.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
James? It's all about vibration.
Exactly.
And so once we can return to drinking living, vital water, I think we're going to discover through our clinical tests and verifications that our brain cells will come back to life as well.
That's right. It's
There's so much of our food and beverages right now that are numbing and dumbing the brain cells. And so it's important to revive our brain cells first.
It's true. And you know, when I was in Dominican Republic in August, I was with Dr. Effie Chow. She is in the movie called Water, or Secret of Water also. And
yes.
She said that, Michiko, do you know how many people are suffering because of not having good water? A lot of people are becoming sick because of the type of the water we are all drinking. So I said, well, you're right. That's why we have to start to keep spreading the words out and start to make good water.
And if I may, James, I want to add this too, both to your wonderful conversation, James and Michiko, that many communities in the United States actually fluoridate their water. And fluoridation is was actually introduced in the United States in 1946, after we had allowed thousands of Nazi scientists to come to this country. And as a result of that, fluoridation occurred in many water systems here in the United States. And unfortunately, fluoridation it ossifies the chemicals around your pineal gland, so that you don't have any psychic or intuitive powers. It also causes a lot of health problems as well. And one of the problems in Seattle is that the Seattle city water supply is fluoridated. So I live in Olympia, which is south of Seattle. We don't fluoridate our water here. It's wonderful artesian well water. So when I go to Seattle, I'm careful not to drink too much of the water. I don't drink any tap water. And what water I get, I always be careful to filter it. Do you know much about the fluoride issue, James?
Well, you know, it's fluoride is I'm trying to remember the name, but it's a toxin to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suspect that you could if you researched it deeper, you would find out that that's why there's a dramatic increase in, you know, attention span.
Attention deficit disorder.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And just a lot of other mental health issues
as a
consequence of it.
One of the things that's troubling to me about fluoridation is that Adolf Hitler used it in his concentration camps to keep people docile.
Oh.
And that's one of the reasons why they think politically that's why it was used after World War II here in the United States. So anyway, I'm always very careful when I choose a place to live that I don't live in an area where there's fluoridation, or at least if there is, that I get a good water filtration system and take it out.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, James, about your structured water.
Uh-huh.
What are the health benefits of drinking structured water?
Well, the first and foremost is hydration, the number one cause of health disorders is dehydration, and a close second is toxicity in the body, which, you know, when you hydrate, it also flushes the toxins out of the cells. So you're accomplishing both needs as far as getting your organs and your cells rehydrated, but also helping your organs to flush out the toxicity that builds up in the cells. And I might want to add that some recent studies that just came on the news a couple weeks ago about calcium supplements, a lot of the minerals that they add as a supplement and the minerals that are in water actually are the minerals that cause plaque to build up in your arteries, calcium and magnesium in particular. And so they lead to heart disease. But if you're eating fresh fruits, vegetables, sea salts, those are what they call bioavailable minerals and electrolytes. And so that's where you want to get your source of your healthy minerals and electrolytes. But if it's in your water or if it's in your supplement, they actually can do a lot more damage.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you know much about the Coca-Cola product named Dasani? I've heard that it's made just from regular tap water, but I do see on the bottle of Dasani water that they've added minerals. Is that the kind of water that you said? Is this an example of that? I don't know much about it.
Yeah, it's calcium, magnesium, and potassium that they add to Dasani water, which is owned by Coca-Cola. And it's in very high levels. And those are not what we call bioavailable minerals. But, you do need calcium, potassium, magnesium in your diet.
Right.
But they need to be minerals that are bioavailable. And so that's where there's been a lot of confusion or misinformation is all these people keep saying, oh, I got to have mineralized water. Actually, even the FDA says you cannot say that there's any health benefit from having mineralized water, actually, because there is no health benefit.
Well, that's just amazing. There is a product that Walmart sells as well called Great Value Water, and I read an article on the internet here a couple of months ago, and according to this article on the internet, that water source is actually the municipality of Sacramento, California, where they just take straight tap water, put it in bottles. They pay some incredible figure, like 27 cents for 1,000 liters. And then they sell each bottle, of course, for more than a buck a piece. And when you do the math, you realize that it's more valuable than gold.
Well, I don't know of any, major brands that actually just sell bottled tap water. They usually run it through pretty heavy filtering systems before they bottle it.
Sure.
Mainly because if you bottled tap water, it would turn green. Algae would start growing inside the bottle.
Oh, wow.
There's actually a company here in Santa Fe that was not properly filtering, and that's exactly what happened. The bottle started turning green on the shelf.
Wow. Really? That's amazing.
It went out of business very quickly.
You're kidding. I mean, people didn't want to buy green water.
Full of algae, yes.
Yeah, full of algae. Well, they could have gotten some vegetables that way, though.
Yeah.
James and Michiko, I want to ask you a question. The other day, I saw a Russian movie called Water. And in that movie, and I'm sure you've seen it, James, or heard about it.
The Secret of Water.
That's right, the secret of Water. In that movie, there was an interview of Dr. Emoto. And I want to ask both of you this question, because it was really very profound. Dr. Emoto was saying that when water goes through let's say it goes through an apartment complex or the city water system, and you have all these pipes which are at 90 degree angles, that's a natural way for water to flow. And then he held up a water bottle container, and I've got one here. Nothing against Crystal Geyser water, because I like Crystal Geyser water, but the packaging itself is serrated, so it's wavy. And he said it was something like, because the natural movement of water is to move in straight lines, that by making it curvy, it actually interrupts the flow of water and is actually harmful to it. I'd love to run that by you, both you and Michiko. Maybe Michiko, why don't you answer that first, and then James.
Okay. I hope I can answer, but when we take a look at nature, just like river, it flows. It's nothing. It's really 90 degrees angled, mm-hmm. And that when it happens, it gives stress to water too. So by the time the water is here at home, it's really stressed out, and it has all the chemicals also. It comes from the pipes also. So all these things happens, and then water is really destroyed. The best thing is to make the flow, natural flow of water, just like river. So that's what I would like to say. What about you, James?
Well, Dr. Emoto, in some of his earliest tests and studies, was testing water from upstream in pristine environments, mm-hmm. of rivers, and then as it would go downstream, he would take further tests, and then more tests of the photographing the water as it went downstream. And by the time it was in the major part of the river, he discovered that almost all of the water had no crystal structure. It
exactly.
was dead water. And he also discovered in our tap water, with very few exceptions, our tap water is also very dead water.
Mm-hmm.
But up in the upper parts of the clean, pristine parts where the water is flowing and vortexing in the streams, it's very alive with crystal water. So that was an important discovery, just discovering that water loses its vital energies and crystallinity if it's been processed too much or exposed to contaminants too much.
Well, I have to ask you this. Both of you asked this question, too. It's too bad that my friend Asha Deliverance of Pacific Domes in Ashland, Oregon, couldn't come on today. She has laryngitis, and I was going to schedule her for this hour. But one of the questions I was going to ask her, James and Michiko, was whether dome structures, which are circular and not square or rectangular, whether there would be the water in the domes would be healthier because instead of having – you could have – circular plumbing in the domes, which would not mess up, which would not interfere with the energy flow of water like there are in traditional rectangular or square homes.
Well, I would think that that's a very interesting question I think you have. And I think the dome would be much better for anyone, for water in the air also, because it circulates better. And what Dr. Emoto used to say was that every shape has a meaning, and there's reason why they have that shape. And if it the water crystals are almost always usually hexagonal. But he said when it becomes a larger or closer to circle, then it has higher vibration and also it's higher dimension. So mm-hmm. I guess dome makes much sense.
Yeah, and I think it's an issue that people don't think about, but this is even the piping when you're putting through a city water system and they do all these 90 degree angles, that's harmful to the energy of the water.
Mm-hmm.
James, I wanted to ask you a question to both you and Michiko. What besides love and gratitude, I'll direct this to Michiko. I know you said before that we are 70% water, mm-hmm. and the Earth is 70% water. How would you change the planet in terms of, do you think that if everyone practiced love and gratitude, the planet would be a better place?
Oh, definitely. I think so. Everything is vibration. And as the Dr. Emoto took more than tens of thousands of crystals, and he said that the water that was exposed to the wars, love and gratitude made the most beautiful crystal, and that means love and gratitude has the highest frequency and the most beautiful information in it. So when people, it's the easiest and most powerful way, I think, and it's always the best if we have structured, beautiful water within us or in handy with us. But if we don't, what we can do is to send love and gratitude to water, because the water is capable of restoring. So that's something I can say.
Here's something I want to share with both of you, and I haven't mentioned it. I think I've mentioned it before, but I think it'd be good to go into it today. Back in 1999, there was a radiation leak at a nuclear power plant in Japan, and the name of the plant was
Tokaimura.
Tokaimura. Okay, good. You took the words right out of my mouth. Thank you, Michi. I do the best I can, but I'm an English speaker, and so I often mess up my Japanese pronunciation. But what he did is that he'd been studying water for about 25 years and Hado vibration, and Dr. Moto had this brilliant idea. Of what he did is that he took a bottle of radiation, of radioactive water from this nuclear power plant that leaked out in Japan, and he took a picture of it under the electron microscope. And on my television program, you would be able to see these images, of course, because that's video. But here on the radio, I'll just describe it to you. It looks like the water sample itself on the electron microscope level looks like a disease. It looks like all these weird shapes.
Viruses.
It looks like the water that's full of viruses. So what he did then is that he took a bottle of this radioactive water, and he wrote the words love and gratitude on it, and also pasted a crystal, a love and gratitude crystal on the bottle of radioactive water. And then within 48 hours, all of the radiation had completely disappeared. The water was drinkable. And he theorized that the water had resonated with the words of love and gratitude on the bottle. And I saw it, and I read about this. And this is something really worth emphasizing, because it proves scientifically out there that our thoughts in the fifth dimension do have an effect here in the third dimension. And if we want to clean up, I mean, there's lots of different ways to make this place a better planet. And I think there's lots of different ways of clean up water, too. One of your company's ways, James, of course, is using effective microorganisms, which is a wonderful idea. They've used it in Tokyo, for example, to clean up the river water there to establish a salmon run now, which is amazing. You can actually fish fish for salmon in Tokyo. But there's other ways to do it, too, and we can do it through the power of our thought. And because water has memory, water remembers love and gratitude. If you, in theory, since this experiment did work, if you covered the Pacific Ocean with the words love and gratitude, the entire ocean should be cleaned up. And if you covered the nuclear reactors of Fukushima writing love and gratitude all over them, I'm not crazy to say this, they should be cleaned up and the radiation should disappear. What do you think? James, what do you think?
Oh, for me?
Yes.
For me, you know, especially if you can combine it with the beneficial microbes that can rapidly detoxify, right. I think that's where we're getting the most profound benefit.
Right.
I guess they've been trying to do the healing prayers, and I'm sure that is having some benefit. But if we want to have long-lasting health benefits, it's the combination of the healing crystals and, you know, the beneficial microbes together that can rapidly clean up, you know, our toxic environments.
Absolutely, your work's very important as well. Michiko wants to say something. Go ahead, Mitch.
Okay, I know that the group of Dr. Higas has been contributing EM, effective microorganism, in Fukushima area. And Dr. Higa's group is the only organization who has been keeps doing this for all these years. All the other nonprofit organization have gone, they have left already. But Dr. Higa keeps doing that. And because he sees that EM has been helping those soils there and also helping with the radiations there. So that is I think EM with structured water is the best. But yes. When they don't have the EM with so easily, people who cannot get the EM so easily, and what they can do is to be sending loving gratitude thoughts to themselves, to water that they drink, to whatever they plant, then that's one way, I think. But the best is the combination of EM and structured water, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know, amen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, from my conversations with the other side, the entire planet actually is slated for ascension. And as I mentioned before, that process started last month. And as part of that ascension, I think we will be able to certainly clean up much of the pollution, if not all of it, in the next 10 to 15 years on this planet. And we can bring it back to a pristine level that it was when humans first came here, many, many, probably millions of years ago. But there's no reason for the pollution not to be cleaned up. And, you know, your technology effective microorganisms is not expensive, is it? I mean, it's a very common sense solution, using the natural biology of the planet to clean up the pollution, and not through harsh chemicals, and not through other methods that cause their own problems. Do you think, here's a question for you, James. Do you think changing the frequency of water with prayers and words of love and gratitude are beneficial to the microbes? Would they be attracted to that?
Yes, to a degree. It's just that there are certain frequencies that the molecules respond to in a much more powerful way, and it's what Nikola Tesla called far infrared frequencies. Mm-hmm. And those are the frequencies that when we're giving prayers, our body actually starts emitting those frequencies that are healing to our environment. Mm-hmm. And, but on the molecular level, yeah, it's those frequencies in particular that revive the water molecules as well as the beneficial microbes. A good example is when you have dead stagnant water, most people can understand that promotes detrimental bacteria. Mm-hmm. We see it all the time. Right. If you have living vital water, that promotes beneficial bacteria or microbes, and they thrive in an environment where you have living vital water. Mm-hmm. So that's why Dr. Higa would often say, be sure to structure water first before you activate the microbes.
Hmm. Fascinating, fascinating. I wanted to tell you, I mentioned this before my program, but I think it works. It's worth saying again today. When I first had Dr. Emoto on my show on July 25th, 2014, the show went on from 3 to 4 p.m. At the bottom of the hour at about 3:30 p.m., I said to Dr. Emoto, well, you've done a wonderful service, Dr. Emoto, in proving that positive thoughts can create these beautiful water crystals. And I asked him whether this would be helpful in creating world peace. And he said, oh, yes, it should work. So I asked him and I asked all my listeners around the world to send lots of love and light to the Palestinians and the Israelis who were fighting at the time in the Gaza Strip. And at the same time, I asked for a 12-hour ceasefire so that the food could be provided to and medical supplies could be provided to the wounded. Well, the show ended. We did that for 3 or 4 minutes, and the show ended at 4 p.m. Seattle time. So I went back to where I was staying, and just at about 8:30, when I walked in the door, I decided to turn on CNN to see what was going on in the world. So I turned on the news, and at that exact moment, just as I turned it on, the Israelis and the Palestinians had agreed to a spontaneous ceasefire for 12 hours to do what? To exchange food and medical supplies. And from that moment on, I knew that I was sold. I said, this is great. And it was a way, but so, you know, and if you extend that, I also contacted many news channels, including CNN, ABC, CBS, Fox News, PBS and the BBC, and nobody would do a story on it. Nobody would touch it. But on the other hand, that just shows that we are powerful spiritual beings, and we can create the kind of reality that we want. I know that in Dr. Emoto's works and Michiko's presentations, she's got photographs of these beautiful love and gratitude water crystals, which are created when you send positive thoughts to a, when you send positive thoughts of love and gratitude to a glass of water. On the molecular level, you have these beautiful water crystals. But on the other hand, when you send negative thoughts to a glass of water, on the molecular level, the water actually breaks down, so it turns into these ugly patterns. And so, as a psychic, I know that as you go higher in the dimensional ladder, when you have good positive thoughts in the fifth dimension, those positive thoughts can get translated into physical reality in this third dimension. And so you have to be careful of what you think. And try to think only positive thoughts, because if you think positive thoughts, then they do in fact materialize here in this third dimension. If you carry that one step further and you look at all the conflicts we've got in the world today, instead of having weapons, instead of having so-called defense weapons possessed by our military for world peace, wouldn't it make a better plan to have a department of prayer within our military, where you'd have maybe, I'm not sure, maybe 100 people, and all they would do Monday through Friday, James and Michiko and all my listeners, they would pray 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 for world peace and to clean up Fukushima and clean up the planet. Do you think that might work, James?
It is certainly has proven true in my case. I didn't realize in starting a company based on bioregenerative approaches to science that I would be praying so much. And what I'm discovering is the more that I'm sincere and genuine in those prayers, the more quickly those prayers are answered. So, you know, if you have individuals who are praying from a very sincere part of their being, it can have incredibly profound results.
Well, absolutely. And one of the messages that I got last year from my friends off planet was to say this Ho'oponopono prayer, and to ask them to come in and clean up Fukushima. And the message that I got of it is that they have been cleaning up much of Fukushima and the Pacific as well. I know I've talked about this on the radio before, but it's worth mentioning again. Back in the spring of 2014, there was a huge plume of radioactive of water coming directly from Fukushima, and it was headed for Seattle, Vancouver, Canada, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, and Los Angeles on the west coast here of the United States and Canada. And so I went out and got some water studies done, tests of the water, salt water off of Seattle, in April of 2014. And James, guess what the results came back?
Pure clean.
The radiation was completely gone. And I want to thank Governor Jerry Brown of California for doing that for me and my group. Our governor here in Washington refused to do any testing, so I had to go down to California, and Governor Jerry Brown did that for us for free. And he also said, if you need any more testing, to go ahead and do that, because your governor won't do it for you. And I said, thank you so much. That was so kind of him. And Governor Brown actually issued a press statement about the 1st of June 2014, stating from his office, saying that all the radiation was gone along the California coast. And if you look at media back then, it's very interesting, James and Michiko, that press release was only aired in San Francisco, Los Angeles, only within Sacramento, only within the borders of California. It wasn't aired in Oregon. It wasn't aired in Washington. It wasn't aired in Nevada. Only on California radio and television and newspaper media outlets. Not outside of that. And so it kind of makes you wonder how controlled the media is in the United States. But I'm saying that because there's a lot of good things going on that you don't hear about in the mass media. Most of the radiation now has been cleaned up across the Pacific And you might, the next question you may want to ask, well, who's been doing it? And the message that I got is that there's two things helping the situation. The first and foremost are my friends off-planet called the Galactic Alliance. They're a group of benevolent extraterrestrials, mostly human, not all human, but mostly human. They have about 450 million planets in this one-third part of the Milky Way galaxy and are comprised of 7 trillion entities. And they've come in and cleaned up the radiation because they're not going to let us commit suicide. We also have spacecraft cleaning up the radiation right over Fukushima from the hollow Earth. And also, too, they tell me that our prayers are also helping as well, just like with the love and gratitude experiment that Dr. Emoto did. One of the things I really don't like to do is to go into doom and gloom, because our future is not doom and gloom. And if you hear of doom and gloom on other radio programs, that we're going to have a nuclear war or have lots of problems from this radiation of Fukushima, sure. I mean, we do have challenges and there are some problems, but it's not going to be the end of the world as we know it, because the Prime Creator and the Galactic Alliance are not going to let us commit suicide. And James and Michiko, I'd love your comments on that.
Well, that's kind of beyond my level, but in a Galactic Alliance and all that. Very interesting. But, you know, the only thing I can say is that I know that this planet is not the only planet, and human beings are not the only, like, intelligent beings here. I know that there are so many more intelligent, far more intelligent human beings in the universe, because they're, I mean, when we think about it, this Earth is such a small, tiny part of the universe. So it would be too arrogant to think that we are the only intelligent beings, I think. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, I am grateful if Galactic Alliance is helping Fukushima and this Earth. But also, I think it is so important that every individuals are aware of how to make this planet a better place and in harmonious way. And so it will be better and better, and feeling gratitude to whatever the situation it is we've been provided, and returning it to nature. And so we are in circulation of living together in harmony, I think.
James, in 10 words or less, I'd love your comments on that.
For me, I think the great intelligent beings of our galaxy, it's very important that we learn these lessons mm-hmm. through our own mistakes, and that we grow and learn. And, you know, if they try and do it for us or interfere, that help doesn't allow us to learn from our mistakes, and therefore we continue remaking those mistakes. So it's important that we learn.
Well, that's one of the key reasons why the Galactics have told me that they haven't cleaned up the radiation 100%. They have left some radiation around Fukushima. I mean, they have the technology to clean it up 100%, but okay. They've cleaned up the Pacific, so we're not now in danger. And they've cleaned up most of the radiation around Fukushima, not all, but most. And the reason why they haven't cleaned up at all it entirely is that they said that, very interesting point, because I've talked to them about this before, if they cleaned up the entire amount of radiation in Fukushima, we wouldn't learn any lessons. Mm-hmm. And then we're liable to repeat everything all over again. But I want to bring in, this is something else I want to bring, a very important person, a great spirit named Michelle de Nostradamus, who I've been in contact with for about 2 years. And last year, I talked to him about Fukushima, and he said that the timeline had changed, and that up until Fukushima, which happened in March of 2011, humanity was actually on a path toward Armageddon and a Third World War, very destructive Third World War, in which case we would be destroyed. But he said that after Fukushima, that the planet now has changed its path from a a path of destruction in the World War III to a path of a very beautiful, bright future for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. It's very interesting because when I contacted him last year, when I contacted him, the time was December 1540, and he was sitting in his study in front of this beautiful wooden table, and the air was real smoky. And I don't like to bother him very much unless I've got a specific question, because I know he's always busy. But what he did last year when I contacted him, he'd taken all of his quatrains, which are like passages of Armageddon and World War III for the planet, and he'd ripped them all up, crossed them all out with his this fluffy pen he had, with lots of ink, a bird feather pen. And he sat there and he looked at me last year and he said, "What kind of future are you and the humanity on this planet, what kind of future are the people of this planet going to create now that you're on a better path?" And so when I contacted him recently again, a year later, he started writing again. But now he talks about how the planet's going to live in harmony with each other, how we're going to clean up the pollution from Fukushima and other events. And guess what else? He just came in now. He's telling me that it's people like you, James, and you, Michiko, who are part of that, and you're playing key roles in making this planet a better place. So he's saying thank you from his perspective in 16th century France.
Thank you.
Sure. And anyway, Michiko, any comments on that?
Well, thank you. Wow, Nostradamus. Well, I think it's just a matter of how conscious human beings will be, what choice we're going to make. It all depends on all the individuals. So I think the individuals like you, Ted, and like you, James, and like us, trying to appreciate this nature and do something for nature, for all being, for the benefit of the earth, because for the benefit of the earth is the benefit for all the human beings and all beings of this earth. So it's just a choice, and to make a right choice, I think education is really important, knowing it and learning what the right choice is, what kind of choices we have. Then James can provide something that they can obtain. The good water and good microbes are really, really important for the earth and for human beings. So that's something that he can do to contribute to the world. And what I can do is through Emerald Peace Project, I can keep sending the message to educate children and the earth, all the people around the world. So it's just, I think it's a choice of what we are going to make.
The other thing, too, I want to tell you, are you there, James?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. I've also been in touch with other great spirits, and all this will be contained in my book, which I'm going to try to finish in the next month, is from President Kennedy. And one of the things he told me was that before he was assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963, that the entire planet was slated for ascension, and we were supposed to be, we were supposed to eliminate poverty and live much, much longer and have and clean up all pollution on this planet by now, if he'd been allowed to remain president back in 63. But because we are slated for ascension, we're still slated for ascension, and because the very nature of humanity is to be loving, sweet, kind, and benevolent, those same forces now have come around again, and except that now the change is coming from you, James, you, Michiko, myself, and lots of other light workers working from the bottom up, and everyone around the world listening to this program, to create a much better and much better planet. Back in his day, 50-some-odd years ago, the changes were coming from his administration, from top down, and not bottom up. But that's the difference between now and then. And but it's an exciting time to be alive, and you're doing pioneering work to make this planet a much better place. the kind of future that we'll have in the future will be one without war. It'll be one without the conflict that we have today. The one thing interesting that Nostradamus has told me too is that instead of communicating through language, many people will communicate through telepathy. But James, with all that in mind,
yes.
if you had a wand and you could touch the planet and change it completely, what would you change to make it a better place? In 10 words or less, in the next 30 seconds.
My magic wand would just be spreading the beautiful energy of love and goodwill to all. That's my favorite quote in the Bible. It's from the angels. Peace on earth and goodwill to all. Mm-hmm. That's how you achieve peace on earth, is mm-hmm. by having, the benevolence for all living beings on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. And Mitchie, if you had a wand mm-hmm. and you could touch the planet and make it a much better place, what would you do?
Well, like James, I would be giving deep love and gratitude to every beings on this earth, not only human beings, but to all the animals and beings, insects, microbes, everything, and cover the entire earth with golden light and mm-hmm. With beautiful love. That's what I would be doing.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, 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 Michiko. One of the things that my friend Professor Einstein wants your company to look into in the future is using water as a memory device for future organic computers.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not doing that now, but he said that he would help you if you like from the other side. And but it's something that it's very interesting. The messages that I've gotten from the other side that our computers will not be hardware-based. They will be organically based, and they'll be living entities, which we will create. It'll be more than artificial intelligence objects. They will actually be organic entities, and their memory chips will actually be water.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you think about it, the human brain is what, 95% water?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's the main conduit for information and memory, and,
right.
And as well as the raising of consciousness. So
right.
a lot of the information that water has been accumulating over the last 4.5 billion years is accessible to us through the water. And so
right.
we need to learn how to access that information.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I would agree that the brain cells can hold far more information, in particular through the water crystals, than any of our microchips can even come close to. So, yes, as new organic sciences emerge and replace the mechanistic sciences, we're going to see more and more working in collaboration and partnership with the organic side of nature and how nature's been doing this for since the beginning of our planet. So nature already has all the answers. We just need to listen better to what nature's been doing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And here's something I want to share too from Zora, my friend, high priest in the Hollow Earth. He said that their civilization, he was part of a Lemurian civilization that escaped the Hollow Earth about 12,500 years ago when the Atlanteans blew up much of planet Earth in a nuclear war. And when he went there, they brought their technology with them. And as a result of that, they've had thousands of years to develop these computers. What they actually, the memory chips, he tells me now, are actually based upon water and amino acids.
Hmm. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I also say the energy of the future will also be water. So isn't that interesting? As it burns the hydrogen molecules, it starts with water and ends up water, you know, as its exhaust. So it's interesting how I say that crystal water will open the doors to a renewable energy source that we'd never fathomed before.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Erica Fair is with me here. She's from the Olympia, Washington area, and she's also a distributor of effective microorganisms. So she's listening to you, and she's finding your conversation very interesting, James.
Hi, Erica. I know Erica, sure.
She's a wonderful lady. And yeah.
Hello, James.
Hi, Erica. How are you?
It's so nice to hear you and all your research. It's so beautiful. I thank you so much. I was just thinking, you know, when you talked about using the memory of water, that we have not accessed that enough. But I think that's sort of, it came to me that we are already doing it, you know, like when Ted, you know, is in contact with entities from the other side. So maybe we are using it already. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
All the more reason to be drinking crystal structured water to get our, you know, organic computers in our brain functioning again. So.
Yeah. Right. So it's so beautiful, and I thank you all, and both of them, Ted and Michiko, they are living here for 5 days right now, and so I'm so glad to be part of all of that. Yeah. Greetings to you and Sabina.
Thank you.
Bye.
You too.
James and Michiko, we've got a couple minutes left, and I wanted to give James, you 64 and a half seconds to please say whatever you like to wrap up your wonderful interview today, and then Michiko, to be fair, I'll give you 64 and a half seconds. So go ahead, James. You go first.
It's just been a pleasure to share this good news that the nature's solutions are far superior to anything that we can imagine. And so we need to learn that nature is the teacher and we be the inquisitive students and learning the wisdom that the nature has. And I just was recently living in the redwood forests off of the north coast of California. Mm-hmm. And boy, they hold so much wisdom and depth of energy that you know, everyone should experience.
Beautiful. And James, thank you so much for coming on today. Your website is www.pristina. Is that pristinawatercompany.com? Is that right?
Drink Pristina Water.
Drink Pristina Water. Great. Thank you so much, James. I'm going to give Michiko, I've got about 60 seconds. Go ahead and say whatever you'd like.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, James, and thank you so much, Ted, for bringing me here today. I am looking so much forward to this upcoming International Innovation Conference that will be held in September 2017 because in Australia, because I know that this is going to be a huge success that will benefit for all the people around the world. And this is what we really need in this society at this time. So I'm looking forward to it and applying science and consciousness and everything possible to change this world for the better. Thank you.
Okay. And James, if you could send me a link to the site, I'd love to go and participate too, or go to the conference. It sounds like a wonderful thing to go to.
Yes, indeed. Beautiful place to have it also.
Oh, absolutely. Adelaide's a beautiful place. And with that, what I'd like to do is, Eric, my wonderful producer, if you could please play the Ask Not speech. I'd like to play this at the request of President Kennedy to wrap up today's wonderful hour. And thank you again, James, for coming on today, and Michiko. And please listen to these wonderful words of President Kennedy, as valid today as it was back in 1963.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.